Freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of Eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, Studios.
Yes, again.
Coming to you live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City.
It's a great idea. Let's do a road trip.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Beathard will tuck and run. He's got an angle. Touchdown, C.J. Beathard.
That was, I believe, the second score of the game last year for the Hawkeyes in West Lafayette as they wound up going on to beat the Purdue Boilermakers at Ross-Ade Stadium. And that's what we call a twofer on the open because it's also a reference to our guest at 6 o'clock tonight. Welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, coming to you from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. That can mean only one thing. It's another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Check them out online for some great online specials, lindertire.com, or in person at their locations in Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in for Alex Kuhn today. Alex is in Cedar Falls, where he's already seen one area team fall short of bringing home a state championship today. Van Meter knocking off Iowa City Regina 28-7 in the Class 1A title game. We'll see if Iowa City West can best West Des Moines Dowling tonight in the 4A title game. We're going to be off at 6:45 for that game. Right now you're hearing us on all three frequencies. That's going to change at 5:30 because we've got Iowa State and Tulsa from the Puerto Rico tip-off in... well, not Puerto Rico. They're in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Iowa State a winner over Appalachian State yesterday. So they've got the Golden Hurricane, coached by Frank Haith, the former Missouri head coach. That game coming your way again on 1600 AM tonight at 5:30. As we mentioned, all three frequencies, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, the Todd Brommelkamp Show. And Rob, let's go ahead and get started. We got a lot to get to today on the program. We're going to talk Purdue football with Mike Carman from the Lafayette Journal-Courier, or as I like to refer to him, Indiana Steve Batterson. He kind of looks like Steve Batterson from the Quad City Times, but that's neither here nor there. He's going to join us at 5:30 today. We're going to catch up with C.J. Beathard at 6 o'clock tonight. The 49ers bye week for them, right?
Yes, they are okay. On the bye. He and George Kittle are both being back in town.
And back in town, so hopefully we can get a good connection with them. And plenty of talk about what's coming up this weekend in the Big Ten, including possibility of Wisconsin moving to 11-0, but they're going to have to get past Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines. Jim Harbaugh, they're starting to talk about him in Chicago with the Bears job. I don't know whether he gets antsy. He likes to move on from time to time.
I was watching, I think, Game Days in Madison this week.
Yeah. So
there was a sign, you know, the signs they hold up behind the people that are on the air. It said, LeAngelo Ball stole Jim's shorts for Harbaugh. So they're already going at him up there. So that should be a good one tomorrow.
Let's go ahead and start, though. Text line, Hurtine and Stocker text line available for you, 319-366-1600. We're going to talk a combination of football and basketball here throughout the day. But Iowa in action last night at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And you tell me, 85-74. It was a little bit closer than I think people were expecting it to be with Grambling last night. Was there, in your opinion, a particular reason for it, or what happened?
Fran didn't seem to, you know, he was asked if his guys took Grambling State lightly.
I bet he liked that.
He actually was like, I don't know. He wasn't sure. Garza said that he felt like they did. Luca Garza did after the game, which I was a little bit surprised. You usually don't get guys to admit that. A couple other guys were like, I don't know if we did. But they won the first two games by an average of 33, 34 points, something like that. I think it's just human nature to be, ho-hum, there's another, you know, a team that was awful last year coming to our building. Maybe we can sleepwalk through this team. But give Grambling State credit. They came ready to play. It's cliche, but they played hard the whole game, and they played physical with Iowa, which I think was a good thing for the Hawkeyes to experience.
Where is this team at through the first three games as they get ready to head to the Cayman Islands?
Still a work in progress, I think. I think some of the things that we felt like, some areas that we felt like would be strong coming into the year, depth, scoring spread out. We've seen through all three games now, you know, multiple double-figure scorers. I think they've just got a lot of pieces on offense, but I still think there are question marks on defense. They're still having trouble stopping the ball, dribble penetration. And that's not going to – teams are still going to continue to do that against them, and they've got to – whether it's going to zone, playing different players on the ball, they've got to do something to counter that because they're just not doing it well right now.
No Connor McCaffrey last night for the Hawkeyes. He was out with an illness. He's also been battling a little bit of an ankle injury. Sounds like he may be out of the mix for a couple weeks.
He has mononucleosis.
I've had that before.
Was diagnosed this week. Fran was doing like, this is swollen and that is swollen. So unpleasant illness. And Fran estimated 3 weeks. I don't know. I've never had it. So
that is the best way to lose weight. Unfortunately, you feel miserable and you don't feel like eating anything. And I had it about 12 years ago. And for 3 days straight, the only thing I had an appetite for was breadsticks from one restaurant in particular. So for 3 days straight, I subsided on fast food breadsticks.
Now this poor kid, well, I shouldn't say poor kid because we're here in, you know, dreary weather, but now he goes to the Cayman Islands with the mono.
Yeah, that's no fun either, especially when you're traveling and you're not feeling very well. But what did they do? Because I know we've seen Jordan Bohannon and Connor McCaffrey playing alongside a little bit of one another, and I think that was a plus when Christian Williams left. It allowed Connor McCaffrey to step in. They made that redshirt decision and get Jordan Bohannon off of the one a little bit, but what are they doing without Connor McCaffrey? What'd they look like last night?
Brady Ellingson has moved into that one spot. He kind of was eased into that in the first game when I don't think they knew kind of how long Connor would be out, obviously with the ankle. They didn't know about the mono. But the last two games, he's played it quite a bit when Bohannon's, and it's been pretty much a straight substitution. When Ellingson comes in and Bohannon comes out and vice versa, they don't play alongside of each other. So the backcourt depth is also a concern. You know, you get some foul trouble or another injury or something there, and it's thin. And it'll be interesting this week because they play three games in 3 days. How does that backcourt hold up without the numbers?
Now, I think we're going to talk a little, correct me if I'm wrong here, because I took a peek at your Love It or Leave It, which is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Are we talking about Iowa's non-conference schedule and hoops on Love It or Leave It with the RPI?
Yes.
Okay, then let's talk about Iowa's non-conference.
We can talk about it now, though.
No, let's talk about Iowa's non-conference schedule. This was going to be the transition, the segue, football, because we found out today that Iowa has added Colorado State to the non-conference schedule in 2021, which is, that's 5 years away. But you know as well as I do how much fans love to obsess over this. You basically, the way that the schedule is set up, you get two non-conference games a year with Iowa State on the schedule because they're taking up the 10th game. They fill it with Colorado State. What was the reaction today among people that you've been hearing from? How's this going over?
Better than North Texas.
Better than North Texas.
That was the most common, I think, response was better than North Texas or better than who they play next year, Tennessee State or Middle Tennessee or something like that on next year's schedule, another Sun Belt team. So, yeah, I mean, people are still, unless it's going to be Alabama or USC, people are going to complain. People want another Power 5 school on there. Colorado State, who knows? I mean, it's a respectable program. Mountain West, they throw the ball around. It could be an interesting matchup. Wyoming, right, is Mountain the same conference?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so something similar to Wyoming.
And Jim McElwain was there before he went to Florida. And
that didn't work out.
That didn't work out. And who knows where this team is going to be 5 years from now. Remember when Wyoming was added to the schedule? They weren't necessarily all that great. And, of course, they weren't that great when they were here at Kinnick Stadium earlier in the year. But at least a respectable program, a program with a pulse. But it's so hard to tell 5 years out. But I knew the minute that I saw that, at first I saw Colorado as I was reading it across, and I thought, hey, there's that Power 5 non-conference game that Hawkeye fans, and then you get to the Colorado State part, and you go, oh, okay, well, we'll see how this plays out. But
that would be a nice home and home, and a natural with Colorado. You know, do a home and home with Colorado. I would be down with going to Boulder.
Colorado. I was going to say Colorado State is in.
It's not. Is it Fort Collins?
Is that Fort Collins, which is it's an okay area, right? It's not Boulder though.
But this won't be a home and home.
And actually, you know what? I'm going to cop to this. I've never been to Boulder. The only things I know about Boulder, I learned from watching Mork and Mindy. reruns when I was a little kid. Yeah. So wasn't that where the show was, right? Jay Thomas ran the sandwich shop.
Yep, he was okay. On that, and Jonathan Winters came in later.
Jonathan Winters, when they added, you know you're in trouble when you add a kid, a baby, to the program, but when the baby is Jonathan Winters, it takes it to a whole new. This is what you get when Rob sits in for Alex today as my guest host here at Coach's Corner Sports Pub. Stop on in, by the way, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. We'll be here until 6:45 tonight. Happy hour underway until 7, $2.50 domestic bottles and $2 domestic pints. And let us know what you think of today's poll question, by the way, kgymradio.com. The NBA is mulling over, not mulling over, it sounds like this is going to become a reality, getting rid of the one-and-done rule, which would benefit the NBA and college basketball. The question today is, who would get the most benefit of that rule going away, the NBA or college hoops? Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot, the sponsor for today's poll question. As we mentioned, Iowa, the basketball team hitting the skies for the Cayman Islands Classic. They'll take on Louisiana on Monday. The Iowa women have a home game, I believe it's Sunday, as they continue their non-conference play. And we'll have plenty of talk about Iowa's football opponent tomorrow, Iowa and Purdue. Again, Mike Carman joining us from the Lafayette Journal and Courier coming up at 5:30 tonight. You can join the conversation as well. That Hertine and Stocker text line is available to you, 319-366-1600. Hertine and Stocker at 101 South Dubuque Street here in downtown Iowa City. You can stop on in. A member of the Dickens family is always there. We had the MVP results yesterday in both the AL and the NL. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up on Love It or Leave It at the bottom of the hour, because Giancarlo Stanton could be just the second player ever to win the MVP award and then traded in the immediate offseason. 4:18, we'll step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, eventually Kyle's going to have a Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you, and we'll make our way towards 6:45 tonight in Class 4A high school football, Iowa City West taking on West Des Moines Dowling. Those two programs know each other quite well. They will meet again and renew acquaintances at the Unidome in Cedar Falls. Alex Kuhn and his broadcast team on the call. 5:30 tonight, just a reminder, we're going to split off from 1600 AM. Cyclone Radio Network will bring you Chris Williams and Brent Bloom on the call as the Cyclones take on Tulsa. Tulsa 2-1 on the season. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with special guest host Rob Howe after this.
Are you in the market for a new or used vehicle? I'm Brittany from Toyota of Iowa City, and I'm here with some great news for you. Toyota of Iowa City, voted the area's best auto dealer by Press Citizen readers once again, is starting its Toyota Black Friday event right now. Come browse our huge vehicle inventory and take advantage of factory specials such as 0% financing for 60 months on all new 2018 RAV4s and 2.9% financing on all certified pre-owned RAV4s. And come in to see the great lease rates on all new 2018 Camrys. You really need to stop in and see for yourself. But don't wait. These deals end on December 4th. Check us out today at toyotaiowacity.com for more specials and details, or better yet, just stop in and tell them Brittany sent you.
0% financing for 60 months requires qualifying credit and is $1,667 per $1,000 borrowed. Does not include $130 dealer documentation fee.
Connecting with your family and friends is what La Cantina is all about. This football season, add sizzle to the game. La Cantina would be happy to cater your tailgate. Or reserve La Cantina's party room and watch the action on their big screen while you crunch, sip, and cheer. La Cantina makes every football game a winner. Connect at La Cantina in the Fountains on Edgewood Road, in Marion, and in downtown Cedar Rapids. La Cantina is now accepting applications for positions at all three locations.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
This is Iowa. Winter doesn't mean it's time to take a break. It means working smarter on your job site. Star Equipment knows that, and they're ready to rent the gear you need for concrete curing, pipe warming, and frost prevention, along with top-notch ground-thawing equipment. Lost time means lost dollars, but the cold won't stop your project when you work with Star Equipment. They don't take a break in winter either. Star Equipment. Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
It is 4:22 on a Friday afternoon, a pretty miserable Friday afternoon here in Iowa City and across eastern Iowa. Dark, dreary, a little bit of rain coming down. As best I can tell, the rain is going to be in the forecast off and on throughout the rest of the evening as well. The Todd Bromwell Camp Show coming to you from Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Where is that? Well, it's 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard, not too far away from Finkbein Golf Course and not too far away from Kinnick Stadium. And for the final time tomorrow, the Hawkeyes will take the field at Kinnick Stadium as they take on the Purdue Boilermakers. That game, I had almost forgotten about that game last year. A lot higher scoring and a lot closer than I think people were expecting it to be last year. But the Hawkeyes ultimately came out on top. They met much earlier in the season last year than they will this year. And we'll talk about a number of things over the course of the next couple hours here, Rob, but senior day tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium for a pretty impressive group, including those three linebackers.
Yeah, it's always kind of a bittersweet day, to see these guys that have made names for themselves and represented the program so well play their final game. And it's going to be a tough one to see Josie Jewell play his last game, because he's going to go down as one of the best that's ever been. And, hopefully people soak it up tomorrow. The one thing that I haven't seen this week, and maybe it's been out there and I haven't caught it, what are the ticket sales for tomorrow? I've heard there are plenty left, but I have not heard a number.
That's a good question. I was taking care of some family stuff on Tuesday, so I didn't. Normally they lead off Kirk's news conference, and they didn't do that this week. Well, I think that probably tells you maybe a good indication of where those tickets are. I can't imagine Purdue is going to bring 3,000 people from West Lafayette, so I'm sure a bunch of those tickets got dumped back into the pool. And it's going to be cold. Not necessarily freezing cold, but
very
wet.
Very windy.
How many photos are you shooting tomorrow? You're going to spend most of your time up
What's
in
the over-under on that?
Press box with us. I'll give you a quarter. For those that don't know, Rob shoots his own photos for HawkeyeNation.com, and when it's not exactly ideal weather, he tends to take some pictures and then retreat back to the press box.
It was chilly in Madison last week in that first half. I almost did the first quarter bail, but I made it through the first half.
There wasn't much to take pictures of last week in Madison. And I asked the guys yesterday, Alex and Kyle, on Woodja this question. And I'll ask you, do you think Iowa is closer to the team that we saw play Ohio State 2 weeks ago or are they closer to the team that we saw last week in Madison? I mean, the truth is somewhere in the middle. For somebody who told me 25 minutes ago that you don't like hot takes, I'm sort of forcing you into a hot take corner here, but that's what we do.
Yes. I don't know how hot this take will be, but I think you're right. I think it probably is somewhere in the middle, but if I had to choose one, I would say more towards what happened last week at Wisconsin, because I think that's been more the norm this year. It looks like the Ohio State game was the outlier, but we'll see in these last two games. I know they're not playing any, world beaters at this point, but Purdue's defense is much improved. I think they've trimmed their points allowed per game in half from 38 to 19. I think they gave up over like 44 points in Big Ten play last year, and they're only giving up just over 19. So that's a big – they're much better defensively. So it won't be like Iowa can just go out there and go up and down the field or put up 45 like it did against Illinois.
There's some question as to Purdue's quarterback situation tomorrow. David Blau has been out the last couple weeks, but a couple of the quarterbacks there are dinged up a little bit. I heard Tim Newton, the play-by-play voice for the Boilers, on the gym class with Scott and Mark earlier today, saying that Jeff Brohm likes to keep things close to the vest as far as injury, and everybody's just dinged up a little. You can have a torn ACL or a blister, and I think it's dinged up, to paraphrase what Tim said. So I will try to get the inside information from Mike Carman at 5:30 tonight from the Lafayette Journal and Courier. But at the end of the day, this is a Purdue team that started off really well this year, but has struggled lately after the injury to David Blau. But they did keep it close last week before coming to Kinnick Stadium for this contest tomorrow. And Iowa's got a good shot at winning out against Purdue and Nebraska, finishing the season with 8 wins, and then it's up in the air where the Hawkeyes would be bowling. I know Chad Lystico from the Des Moines Register had a bit of a breakdown. It's extremely complicated figuring out where teams are going to be going bowling, not only because you're at the mercy and the whim of the college football playoff system and how many Big Ten teams could work their way into that discussion, and I think it's safe to say at least one Big Ten team is going to be involved, but you never know about the possibility of a second depending on the bowl matchups. But you start looking at these agreements that the Big Ten has with some of these other bowl games, and they promise these bowl games you're going to get X number of different teams in a certain amount of years, and then you also have the Music City and the Tax Slayer Bowl, which get 3 Big Ten teams in a 6-year span. So if the Tax Slayer Bowl gets a Big Ten team, then the Music City's off the board, which I know a lot of Hawkeye fans are interested in the possibility of going to. It's going to come up on Love It or Leave It. By the way, I forgot to do two things here before we get to our first big board update of the day. I got to give you the order for the Carl Linnery's pick six, and I know Scott Unash is very anxious about this because he likes to hear that somebody took him first. Scott went off the board first, followed by me, then Alex Kuhn, the birthday boy, Kyle Mann, our producer, went fourth, Mark Dukes fifth, and Sean in sixth. And if you like a $30 gift card, we don't have one for you from Carl and Ernie's tonight, but what we do have is a $30 gift certificate to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill in Cedar Rapids, and we're going to put that in your hands tonight. I promise you, Iowa State listeners, before 5:30, that way you can listen on 1600 AM and not worry about missing out on that. So we'll give you that before 5:30 tonight. Right now, what we've got to give you is a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one. Here's Kyle back in the KGYM studios.
The Iowa football team announced today that Colorado State has been added to the schedule for 2021. The Hawkeyes will open the season with Indiana in Week 1, Iowa State in Week 2, a team yet to be determined in Week 3, and now will play the Rams on September 25th. Iowa beat Grambling State last night, 85-74. That's the basketball team, to move to 3-0. But they were led by freshman Jack Nungy, who had 17 points on 6 of 8 from the floor and 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. He was one of 5 Hawkeyes in double figures. Tyler Cook and Isaiah Moss each had 15, while Luca Garza had 13 points and 9 rebounds, and Jordan Bohannon had 12 points and 7 assists. Iowa State was finally at full strength last night, and just like that, they got their first win, 104-98 over Appalachian State. Donovan Jackson led with 26 points on just 11 shot attempts. Nick Weiler-Babb had 23 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists, and Cameron Lard had 12 points and 11 rebounds in his college debut. They advance to play Tulsa today, a game you can hear on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, beginning at 5:30. We've had and have some championship high school football today. Van Meter claimed its first title in school history earlier today, beating Iowa City Regina 28-7 in the Class 1A championship. And then later tonight, we're going to get off the air at 6:45 to pass things off to Alex Kuhn on the call for Iowa City West and West Des Moines Dowling in the Class 4A title game. That'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Van Meter, the hometown of the late, great Bob Feller. And that was certainly tough to watch for Iowa City Regina today, but they had a tremendous season, and Marv Cook always does a great job with those guys. And we'll see what Iowa City West can do tonight. I'm sure they'll have that game here on TV at the Coach's Corners. West and West Des Moines Dowling will go at it at the Unidome in Cedar Falls. Plenty more to get to today on the program, including Love It or Leave It, which is on the way coming up at the bottom of the hour. Well, again, join us at 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to be talking with San Francisco 49ers quarterback and former Hawkeye C.J. Beathard back in town and enjoying his bye week. We'll catch up with the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. He had a big game last year against Purdue in West Lafayette. Maybe Nate Stanley can have a similar game tomorrow as the Boilermakers come to Kinnick Stadium for a kickoff. We'll have coverage for you beginning at 12:30 with Before the Boom on our FM frequencies, and then immediately after the game is over, join us back here at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub for After the Final Gun. Love It or Leave It is on the way next.
And the ESPN app. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. ESPN The Magazine and Outside the Lines report that Cowboys owner Jerry Jones and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell are now in a personal war that is drawing others in as well. According to the report, a growing number of other NFL owners are not happy with Goodell's actions in office, but he's still almost certain to get a contract extension. Packers running back Ty Montgomery out for Sunday's game against the Ravens after re-injuring his ribs. Jamal Williams expected to start. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and Players Association head Michelle Roberts met on Thursday with the new Commission on College Basketball. That commission was formed in the wake of recent FBI investigations into the college game. Silver would like to change the one-and-done rule that allows players into the NBA after only 1 year of college basketball. And we've got an NBA doubleheader tonight on ESPN starting at 8 Eastern Time with the Thunder and the Spurs, followed by the Pelicans and the Nuggets.
Book your first business trip at Upside.com to get two great gifts this holiday season. A Better Business travel experience and a free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones. Just use code BOMANI at Upside.com. You deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
Guys, come into the JCPenney men's store and find great looks for all those holiday parties. Now through Sunday, get 60% off select styles of men's outerwear, hats, and gloves starting at just $6.99. Refresh your holiday wardrobe with 60% off men's sport coats, top coats, and dress pants starting at $23.99. We've got your style and size in-store and at jcp.com. Plus, the holiday challenge is here. Get everything on your list for less than you think. Hurry in. JCPenney.
Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. See store at jcp.com for details.
What could be better than watching your team defeat their rival? Celebrating the victory with Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Award-winning Larceny Bourbon is made with more wheat for a smoother taste. It's hand-selected by our master distillers from the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
Sorry I'm late. Ready to tee off?
Dude, you're glowing gold.
Yeah, stopped by Shell on the way to the course and got rewarded with instant gold status.
Cool. Does it do anything?
Yeah, it saves me 5 cents per gallon on every fill every day.
Whoa.
And it crushes the long ball. Watch this. Nope, it just saves at Shell.
Get rewarded at Shell when you join the Fuel Rewards program now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons per transaction at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for details. Doesn't actually turn bodies gold.
This week, tune into the Paul Feinbaum Show as I discuss
the delicious taste of ice cold Dr. Pepper.
Larry Culpepper? Hey, I'm in the middle of a promo.
Sorry, Finey. The fans are craving so much Dr. Pepper, I thought I'd borrow some of your airtime.
Security!
Hey, look, whether you're watching college football or calling into some guy's radio show, Dr. Pepper makes college football that much sweeter. So grab some of your local store today.
Can I have one of yours?
Hey, we got a caller. You're on the Larry Culpepper Show with your host, Larry Culpepper.
That's it.
That's Dr. Pepper, the one fans crave.
4:35, the Todd Brommelkamp Show continuing on the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Coming up in about an hour, Mike Carman from the Lafayette Journal-Courier. Mike is going to be in town tomorrow for the Purdue-Iowa football game, coming to you from Kinnick Stadium. Last home game for several seniors. We'll talk a little bit about their impact on the program before we're off the air tonight at 6:45. And a guy who went through Senior Day festivities last year at Kinnick Stadium, C.J. Beathard, with us tonight at 6 o'clock as well. We'll take a look at what's going on around the Big Ten on the gridiron this weekend. A big game again in Madison, Wisconsin, as Wisconsin looks to go to 11-0, but they're going to have to get past Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines in order to accomplish that. They are a 7.5-point favorite over Michigan right now, and the rest of the games, as we touched on, we'll get to here coming up in hour number two. But right now, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting alongside me here on the stage at Coach's Corner. He's done this before. He's no stranger to a Friday staple we like to call Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're
absolutely
sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
Rob, I'm going to go ahead and throw you the first one here, and I think it ties into our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, which is, which side benefits more if the NBA does away with the one-and-done rule, the NBA or college basketball? Emil's Hideaway bringing you today's poll question. Make sure you stop by and vote at KGYM Radio. One-and-done.
Yeah, you like how I connected those two? I didn't, yeah. Was completely
it's
unintentional.
It's a happy accident, as Bob Ross would call it.
Yes. I love the doing away with this rule. It's kind of a sham anyway. You know, if a player isn't really interested in college anyway, he basically can go to school for the first semester and then just kind of blow it off in the second semester, and that's really not good for anybody. It's, you know, I think about Kobe Bryant and LeBron James, and had those guys had to have gone to college instead of going to the NBA first, and it would have been a waste of time. And there are enough of those guys that are out there, or guys that are just not interested in going to college. That's hopefully what they can use the G League for. And I know it's not as high profile as major college basketball. It's not going to get the type of TV time. But maybe they can do something where they're earning towards their pension, you know, when they're in the G League, and make some type of money to at least, you know, keep them, you know, satisfied while they're working their way to the NBA. And then if it looks like it's not going to work there, at least they've been on a training ground where they can go over to Europe and play. But I just think it's a waste of a lot of people's time to send kids to college when they don't want to be there. And maybe they move this to a two-and-done or a three-and-done, but something has to change because the setup right now just isn't good.
Number two.
Bowling in the Big Apple.
I am going to leave this. So one of the possibilities that the Hawkeyes could be bowling this year is the Pinstripe Bowl, which is at Yankee Stadium. Iowa State fans are familiar with the Pinstripe Bowl. They played in that several years ago. And Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register had the rundown today of the he narrowed it down to four bowls that Iowa will most likely be playing in if it runs the table tomorrow and next Friday in Lincoln, Nebraska to get to 8-4. It's complicated, and that's all I can say in that, as Rob and I have already touched on, you're at the whim of the college football playoff system as to taking teams from the Big Ten. But then inside the packet of notes we get every week from the conference are the rules or the stipulations about participating in various bowl games. And one of the things that they've added is you can't go back to the same bowl that you were in the previous year. And that would take off not only does it take like the Outback out of the equation for Iowa, but you also have to take a look at where other teams were at and what bowls they played in. The previous season, and there's an agreement between the Tax Slayer Bowl and the Music City Bowl where it's a six-year period, but they only get three Big Ten teams, so they have to trade off, or they can go 2 years, but then they'd have to go 2 years without. It's extremely complicated. I'm going to leave bowling in the Big Apple, though. That's an expensive trip. It wouldn't necessarily be the greatest matchup, although I think it would help the Hawkeyes have a better chance of winning their bowl game finally, but I can't see Hawkeye fans being too excited about dropping a ton of money on making that trip. You go to a bowl game, you want to go someplace warm and fun. And New York City can be fun. You're an East Coast guy, but man, is it expensive. So I'm going to go ahead and leave that, and hopefully the Hawkeyes dodge the Big Apple bullet.
Number three.
Black Friday.
It's coming up on us. We will be there next week instead of being here next week. Iowa travels to Nebraska. I've kind of lost track of how many of these we've had to this point, but It hasn't caught any traction in my mind. I think it was kind of, it wasn't an organic rivalry as it was. I know they're border state schools, and Nebraska people can be obnoxious. I'm married to one, and she's not listening, so I can say that. But I kind of like Wisconsin being that Black Friday school. I think there's more of a history there, especially with the Kirk Ferentz regime and Barry Alvarez. I don't like the idea of rotating that game between Minnesota, Nebraska, and Wisconsin. I'd like for it to just be one team, and I would like that team to be Wisconsin and let Minnesota and Nebraska lock up every year. But I would like to see them leave it on Black Friday and for it to be Wisconsin. I don't want it to be Wisconsin or somebody else on Saturday. I like having Iowa on that Friday after Thanksgiving. So I love the change, but I'm not sure I love where it's going. We'll have to see.
Number four.
Bielema back to the Big Ten? Question mark.
Yeah. This is interesting. Look, Jeff Long is out as the athletic director at Arkansas. Long is the one who hired the former Hawkeye standout to be the head coach of the Razorbacks. And anytime the AD goes, you know that you're probably in trouble. Also, add to the fact that two other SEC coaches who actually had more wins than Brett Bielema in SEC play lost their jobs this year, in Jim McElwain and Butch Jones. It's only a matter of time before Brett Bielema gets the axe in Fayetteville, and that's unfortunate, not because I like Brett or anything, but I know a couple people that work for him on the staff. There were a couple people who followed him down there that worked for the Hawkeyes here that are good friends with him, and it's always tough to watch other people likely lose their jobs here, because whoever comes in is going to want to bring in their own people. But a couple national writers last night floating the idea on Twitter that if Nebraska were to miss out on Scott Frost, that Brett Bielema would be a good hire in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I'm going to leave this. I can't see Bielema going to Lincoln for a number of reasons. I don't think he would want to, but mainly I don't think the Nebraska fan base would embrace that. They want Scott Frost, and I think they're going to get Scott Frost unless Florida decides to throw a monkey wrench into their plans and keep him in the Sunshine State. But Bielema back to the Big Ten, maybe as a defensive coordinator somewhere or something, but I see him probably having to take that move as opposed to going right back to the sidelines somewhere. Or he's a charismatic guy. They could always put him up in the booth somewhere. Bielema on the Big Ten Network, I would love that. Bielema back to the Big Ten on the sidelines, I'll pass.
Number five.
RPI.
Yeah, I've kind of put this out of my mind. I know it's been a discussion topic, Iowa's non-conference schedule and how that might affect them come March, for the postseason. I don't like to get into looking up that far ahead, and a lot of times these things have a way of taking care of themselves, but I have to leave Iowa's non-conference schedule. It almost was like they didn't try. I'll give John Miller, my partner at Hawkeye Nation, credit for this, because he looked it up. So if these numbers are wrong, it's on him. Ken Palm, who does a rating service, John went through his ratings, and Iowa plays the most teams that are ranked 13 or higher in his RPI. They play five teams 300 or higher. For people that don't know, there are 347 Division I basketball teams. All five of those are ranked 330 or worse. So within that last 17, that's who Iowa is playing. Rutgers is next with four teams over 300. Illinois with three over 300. Michigan State, Purdue, Maryland, Northwestern, Michigan with two over 300. And then Minnesota, Wisconsin, Penn State, Ohio State, Indiana, and Nebraska play just one. Iowa plays five times that many. It's just really, we've seen it to this point now where Iowa has gotten, when it's gotten into the NCAA tournament, it gets a tough matchup in that first game as a 7 seed or whatever it is, or an 8, 9, whatever they would get in. They really have so much work to do in the Big Ten this year that, even playing Iowa State this year is not going to boost them that much. So they've kind of painted themselves in a corner, the Hawkeyes have, that they've got to do so well in the Big Ten to get themselves up to a reasonable seed to give them a chance to get back to that Sweet 16. And I think that's what we're all waiting for this program and Fran McCaffrey, is to take it that next step, and it's going to be really hard to do this year. So this non-conference schedule, I just got to leave it.
Number six.
An MVP on the move.
I'm going to buy into this. I think the Marlins are going to try to move Giancarlo Stanton. The question is whether or not they can get a team that could line up with them. It's going to take a right set of circumstances here, and it's also going to take a lot of money involved with whatever team would take Stanton off of the Marlins' hands, because that contract is an albatross at the moment. It's going to be certainly on the back end, and it's a contract that wasn't negotiated by the current management regime of the Marlins, so maybe they don't want to deal with that contract. Now, they're in a tough spot because Stanton's coming off an MVP season. Your fans are going to view him as a building block. They don't want to see the current MVP traded, but the more and more I look at this, the more and more I get the feeling we're going to see another MVP on the move. It's very rare. I think it's only happened once where the MVP, reigning MVP, has been traded.
Who was it? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I'll look that up.
And I think it wasn't – did Bonds win with Pittsburgh? Then he signed as a free agent with San Francisco the next – so three times in baseball history, only one time. Anyway, regardless of the situation, what do you think on that quickly here before we move on? Stanton, Marlin, or not by opening day next year?
I'm kind of with you. I initially thought that, okay, they're going to build around the guy, but it just, in listening to what Jeter's saying, it sounds like he's gone, and they're going to try to shed that contract and get as much as they can for him. But logistically, we'll see if they can find a dancing partner, because it's not easy with a contract that size. Plus, you want to get value back for him, and who has the prospects?
Number seven.
CTE.
Yeah, three
You're
letters.
You're keeping me short. I like this.
Three letters that really are scary and get scarier by the moment. But this week, I don't know if folks have read about it, but the first case of CTE in a living person was identified. It was Fred McNeil, who played with the Vikings and passed away in 2015. They examined him in 2012, and they saw the signs of CTE. And I do love this, because this is, an opportunity now for, whether it be somebody in the military who's, stationed in an area where they're dealing with bombs and having to, their brain rock that way, or football or hockey or other sports, even soccer. My son plays soccer, and when they head the ball all the time, I always wonder, is that shaking up his developing brain? Maybe this isn't a good thing for football, because I think it's just going to continue to put more attention on it. It's a sport that I make a living covering, and I really enjoy. But I also, being on the field, as Todd talked about, shooting photos often in the first half of games, you realize the impact and the collisions that happen with these guys, and it's amazing to me that it's not more prominent. And these tests and the way medical science is going forward with this, I'm really happy that they're focusing on this area, and hopefully there's some more clarity. Because the Fred McNeil story, I encourage people to read it. It's sad. I mean, he played for the Vikings, went back to law school, got his law degree, was a partner in a firm, but only lasted a couple years before his life just started to fall apart. And his family told stories about him forgetting where he was, and just a sad case. And hopefully medical advancements can shine a light on this, and hopefully prevent this from happening more often than it has.
Number eight.
ESPN changes.
Yeah, ESPN Radio today announcing their new lineup as of January. I'm not going to get into too many specifics here, but everybody knows Mike and Mike was on for the last time this morning. Big changes are coming to ESPN Radio. I don't know exactly how we're going to handle them here on KGY. Here's what I'm going to leave this out there. The Dan Le Batard show is pretty much the only thing on the current schedule that's staying where it's at and is not changing. Everything else is going to look a little different, and I'm going to leave this. I'm not necessarily a fan of the lineup, and I'm not necessarily a fan of how things at the moment are looking like they could play out for the local programming on KGYM, which I don't expect to change. I expect the gym class and this show to be on between 3 and 7, and it's going to make for some very interesting listening for those of you that enjoy the ESPN national aspect of things. But people are always hesitant to change, but I definitely think the ESPN radio lineup is not going to sit well with a lot of people. And if you want to learn more about it, you can just go ahead and get online and take a look around and see what ESPN is doing with its radio lineup. But I'll leave it.
Number 9.
Senior day tomorrow, Rob.
Yeah, we touched on that a little bit in the opening, and I love senior day. It's really, you know, again, shooting photos, when I go down in the tunnel to Kinnick Stadium, seeing all the parents lined up down there ready to get on, go onto the field to meet their kids at midfield, and their sons bringing them a rose, and mom crying, and dad trying not to cry, and the players trying to hold it together. And this has just been a really, I don't know, enjoyable senior class. They all are. But I think this class, in a lot of ways, is symbolic of what Iowa football is. You had a lot of guys that no other schools wanted. Josie Jewell didn't have any other, Division I offers. Akram Wadley was a late add. He was going to Temple. Bo Bauer walked on from West Branch. Ben Neiman was going to Northern Illinois as a wide receiver. And you go down the line, Nathan Budgeta, eight-man football in Nebraska. Again, nobody wanted him. Sean Welsh, we talked about his story before the season, coming out and talking about his depression. Just a lot of really good stories in this senior class. And hopefully the tickets we talked about being open and available, some people pick those up tomorrow and give these guys a good send-off because they deserve it. All senior classes do, but these guys have given 5 years, 4 and 5 years to this university, for an education, yes, but no pay. And that's a story for another day. But this is a really enjoyable group that I've enjoyed covering. And when we talk to guys on this radio show on Fridays, guys that we've seen go through this senior day, it's just another kind of a block in that foundation of Iowa football.
Wiggy on the text line wants to make sure you throw in Drake Kulik there, fullback out of Muscatine.
Another great example of a guy who came here as a walk-on linebacker, and it was great to see him score the touchdown against Ohio State, and really great quote, too.
Number 10.
November the 17th.
I will end on this one here real briefly. Would you happen to know what November 17th is, Rob?
I think I saw you tweet or something about this earlier. I know it's close to your heart.
It is World Prematurity Day, November 17th every year, and an opportunity, again, for those of us that have children who were born prematurely to thank everybody that was involved in taking care of them when they were in the hospital and in the NICU. And my wife and I certainly are very appreciative of all of the folks at St. Luke's, and hard to believe that it's been over a year since we brought our son home. He was born at 25 weeks and 3 days, so about 15 weeks early. And I know a friend of mine from high school is staring down the barrel of having a little baby girl at 32 weeks because she's suffering from preeclampsia right now. So it's fairly common, and I just want to take an opportunity to say thank you to everybody out there who works in the NICU, who works with the premature babies and children, and consider giving to the March of Dimes, because it's a very worthy organization. And every November 17th, you'll hear me say that until the day I die. 4:56, we'll step aside and take a very quick break. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you, plus your opportunity to take home a $30 gift card from La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill is on the way as well. Back with more after this.
If you don't love it, leave it.
When you're looking for a new pair of glasses, it's nice to have a pair of locations to choose from. That's why McDonald Optical has two Iowa City locations. Stop and see McDonald Optical in their brand new space next to Panera, inside the Iowa City Marketplace on the east side of town. Or come to their tried and true store on South Clinton Street downtown. Schedule an eye exam with one of their excellent doctors. And find your next pair of glasses at one of McDonald Optical's pair of Iowa City stores. McDonald Optical. Eyewear as individual as you.
Everybody wants to know what I got Kyle for his birthday. Well, I got him another opportunity to give you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa football team announced today that Colorado State has been added to the schedule for 2021. The Hawkeyes will open the season with Indiana in Week 1, Iowa State in Week 2, a team yet to be determined in Week 3, and now will play the Rams on September 25th. Iowa basketball beat Grambling State last night 85-74 to move to 3-0. They were led by freshman Jack Nungy, who had 17 points on 6 of 8 from the floor and 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. He was one of 5 Hawkeyes in double figures. Tyler Cook and Isaiah Masich had 15, while Luka Garza had 13 points and 9 rebounds, and Jordan Bohannon had 12 points and 7 assists. Iowa State basketball was finally at full strength last night, and just like that, they get their first win 104-98 over Appalachian State. Donovan Jackson led with 26 points on just 11 shot attempts. Nick Weiler-Babb had 23 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists, and freshman Cameron Lard had 12 points and 11 rebounds in his collegiate debut. They advance to play Tulsa today, a game you can hear on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, beginning at 5:30. We've had and have some championship high school football today. Van Meter claimed its first title in school history earlier today, beating Iowa City Regina 28-7 in the Class 1A championship. And then later tonight, we're going to get off the air at 6:45 to pass things off to Alex Kuhn. He's on the call for Iowa City West and West Des Moines Dowling in the Class 4A title game. That'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
We'll talk Purdue Boilermaker football with Mike Carman from the Lafayette Journal-Courier coming up in about 30 minutes. Right now, caller number 6, you're going to take home a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. 3 locations. Learn more, LaCantina319.com. Caller number 6, 319-366-1600. Hour number 2 on the way after this.
Golic, let's play the GNC protein game.